I'm looking forward to next week when the ejector chairs get here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popular Science's Techathlon, tech news through games, trivia, and mostly friendly competitions. I'm your host, Jason Letterman, and playing along with me today are Corinne. Welcome back, Iozio.
Did you miss us?
I did. Stan, we missed you, Horacek.
I didn't even have a punchline, but Jason looked at me and laughed, so I guess it worked.
And Rob, let's get this party started, Verger.
That is actually my middle name.
Oh, there you go. Let's get started right away with our Techathlon, 10 trivia questions to catch you up on the latest tech news. I'll ask our panel all about what's been happening since our last episode. They'll get a point for each question they answer correctly, and they'll have the opportunity to steal any question that their fellow panelists answer incorrectly, as long as it's not true or false or multiple choice. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game will win a fabulous prize to be announced later in the show. Let's get started. Question number one. On Wednesday, Samsung unveiled its newest additions to the Note lineup, the Galaxy Note 10 and the Galaxy Note 10 Plus. It's the first time that Samsung has released devices from the Note line in two sizes. The Note 10 has a 6.5-inch screen, while the Note 10 Plus has a 6.8-inch screen. Is the Note 10 Plus bigger, the same size, or smaller than the largest current iPhone model, the iPhone XS Max?
Oh, man.
Stan, yeah, we're coming back hard, Corinne. Stan.
I think it's slightly bigger, right?
It's bigger. The 6.5-inch, the Note 10, is the same as the XS Max.
It's also fudgy math, though, because of the notch.
It's corner to corner. And
and the rounded corners.
It's not fuzzy math, though, because I was right and I'm winning.
But it's a huge phone.
It's big. Yeah, big phones are the thing.
I mean, yeah, but I kind of thought that we had reached the limit.
The limit does not exist.
Oh, God.
This is what Samsung calls their enthusiast phone.
Yeah,
this
it's is always like, been, yeah.
Yeah, the people really love Notes. They like kind of innovate a little bit in the Note line. Then
people
liked
Notes
sticks.
When they were literally exploding in their hands and they still held on to the
No,
phone.
And the Note continues to be like one of the things that all of the tech community just got completely wrong when Samsung first announced it. I remember sitting in that demo when the first Note device came out and every reporter walking out of the room like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Nobody's going to buy it. And then they sold like 10 million of them?
Last year at their Unpacked event in Brooklyn, when they announced the previous version of the Note, they started off with a video presentation of people reading tech reviews that said things like that about the first Note. Like, it's too big. It's not going to work. And then they, you know, it was like a victory lap for them.
Yeah.
Question number two. It was reported recently that Apple is looking to increase security for iOS users in its yet-to-be-released iOS 13. One of the ways it will do so involves Voice over Internet Protocol, or VoIP, the ability to make calls using internet data instead of a regular phone line. What change is Apple implementing for apps that use VoIP? Corinne.
They're not going to allow them to refresh in the background anymore.
That's it.
Sorry, Facebook. This is how your app works.
Yeah, it's Facebook. It's Skype. It's the whole thing. Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp in particular, because the notion is like, if I'm not actively using the app, you shouldn't be allowed access to anything that I'm doing on my phone. The reason these apps want the background refresh, though, is to be able to pick up calls faster.
Right.
It's the old catch-22. Do you want it to work good or do you want to not go to hell, personal information hell?
Yeah.
And it's neither. It'll work bad and you'll go to hell. So, sorry.
So we all lose.
Yeah.
Question number three is multiple choice. You may not know the streamer Ninja, but he was, until last week, the most popular Fortnite player on Twitch, the video game streaming site. Before leaving the platform, how many subscribers did he have? Was it A, 10.8 million, B, 14.7 million, C, 17.2 million, or D, 20.1 million? Rob.
I think it was B, the 14 million number.
That's it.
Do you guys like watching Fortnite a lot?
No.
I've never watched Fortnite.
Have you guys played Fortnite?
No.
No.
Wow. Am I the only person in the room who's played Fortnite?
I've never watched a video game stream of somebody else playing a video game.
Oh,
it does not interest me.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do that too.
I'm with Corinne.
I was over the vacation, I was trying to watch Overwatch League, which is like a video game league, and they have this really high production value where they have like two announcers and professional teams in a stadium and everything, but they're showing this really fast action on the screen and these like announcers with accents are screaming about the action. And my wife was like, you need to turn this off because I don't understand what's happening. And it's like having a rave strobe light screaming at my face.
She's
going to
start getting twitchy.
Yeah. And it's funny how impenetrable a lot of the video game streaming stuff is unless you're really like invested in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just noise otherwise.
Question number four. Twitch wasn't one to simply let Ninja's page sit there, though. His profile on the site now provides a list of other popular Fortnite streamers, as well as a reference to what classic video game?
I forgot to push the button.
There you go.
Stan.
I mean, it's a classic video game. I'm going to guess Super Mario Brothers.
That's it. Yeah. It says, the ninja you're looking for is in another castle.
Adorable.
Question number five. Cable bundles were all the rage for a while, and streaming services are finally copying the much maligned practice. Disney announced that its upcoming streaming service, Disney Plus, will cost just $7.99, but it will offer a bundle that also includes Hulu and its sports streaming service, ESPN Plus, for the same price as a standard Netflix subscription. How much is it? Corinne.
$12.99.
That's it. To the cent. I also would have taken $13 if you had said that.
No, I like to be most correct.
That's Hulu with commercials.
Yeah, that's ad-supported Hulu, to be very clear.
Gross.
But, I mean, Disney and Hulu all in one thing, like, that's a pretty good deal.
Well, because Hulu's going to be completely gutted once Disney pulls its stuff out into their own app anyway. It'd be kind of a worthless platform.
Although, it is interesting in that Disney announced its earnings, and I know everyone's eyes glaze over when we talk about earnings, but Disney had the highest earning movie of all time in the past quarter and still didn't make its earnings goal because it's invested so much money in original content and this streaming platform.
It's going to make that money back so fast.
Yeah. They have a lot invested in it. So that, it's hard for me to believe that there's anything they won't do to make people subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Question number six. A few folks have been invited to apply for Apple's first ever credit card, the aptly named Apple Card, and the general public will be able to apply later this month. The card is backed by which major credit card company, Rob?
Goldman Sachs.
That is incorrect.
Oh, is it MasterCard? Oh, whatever.
Oh, I was going to ring in and say that.
Just ring in and say it.
MasterCard.
Yeah, that's it. MasterCard.
Thanks, Rob. I did know.
No problem.
Magic cards?
Yes, Stan. Magic the Gathering, the credit card.
Sweet. Sign me up.
Question number seven is multiple choice. AT&T workers were allegedly bribed to help fraudulently unlock phones in a case that was unsealed last week. 34-year-old Mohammed Fahd paid employees at a call center some more than $400,000 as part of the scheme. The Department of Justice alleges that in total, Fahd and his partners paid more than $1 million to have how many phones unlocked? Is it A, 500,000, B, 1 million, C, 2 million, or D, 4 million? Rob.
Is it B?
B is not correct. It's C, 2 million phones.
That's a lot of phones.
It's a lot of phones. The DOJ alleges that it cost AT&T millions of dollars. Basically, people would get in touch with Fahd and his associates. They would bribe people at the call center to give him the information about the phone, and then he would remotely unlock it.
This is obviously illegal, and, like, you shouldn't do it if the DOJ is mad about it. But there's also, like, a slight element of, like, Robin Hood here, because the way that smartphone companies and carriers treat customers with contracts and locked phones and region locking and stuff like that is just kind of scummy. So, like, yeah, okay, bad job, guys, but also, like, you know.
There are worse crimes.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to cry a bucket.
Question number eight. Phone numbers of restaurants on the review site Yelp have started to change. They're being replaced with numbers that are affiliated with and automatically generate revenue for what popular food delivery app / company? Rob.
Grubhub.
Grubhub is correct. They claim that it's totally legal. It's part of their advertising and microsites, but restaurants are being charged for phone calls, even just asking about hours or menus, not even people that order food.
So it's not even that Grubhub is trying to create a system where they're taking whatever the percentage is that they would normally get for fulfilling a delivery?
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, this is the opposite of Robin Hood. The reporting said that the restaurants most of them didn't even have any idea.
Yeah.
And like these, yeah, it sucks.
It's a little skeezy.
Yeah. No thanks.
Question number nine. Google is making a new push in sustainability. The tech giant is pledging to make all of its shipments carbon neutral by 2020 and to include recycled materials in all of its made by Google products, including Pixel phones, Google Home devices, and other accessories, by what year? Rob.
2022.
Yes, 2022. That's it, Rob.
I wonder if they'll just make fewer devices. That's what I would do. I would make this promise and say, you know, we're going to make fewer things now.
Yeah. Or like, you know, my favorite screed of all screeds, which is just make a thing that lasts longer and you don't have to do all this tiny incremental. I mean, you should still be doing all of the tiny incremental greening changes, the sustainability, the recyclability of all the parts. But it also just fundamentally comes down to make better.
Yeah, if it's like kind of a red herring, like, hey, the packaging is green, but we're still making, you know, horrible aluminum mines and smelting stations happen, then that's bad.
Yeah.
All right, the score going into question number 10. Corinne has 3. Rob has 3. Stan has 2.
Did I really?
Yeah.
I didn't think I got any right. I know I got to talk a lot, which is really a win for me anyway.
And a win for our listeners.
All right, here we go. Question number 10. As Amazon moves to create its own delivery service, what delivery company is reportedly not going to renew its ground shipping contract with Amazon? Corinne.
It's FedEx.
It's FedEx. That's it. So FedEx says Amazon is only 1.3% of its revenue.
That was the interesting part of this.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of small. I can count, not that I could count, but I'm sure I could count on one, possibly two at the most hands, the times that I've gotten something from Amazon that was delivered by FedEx.
Yeah, usually for me, it's either UPS or USPS.
It's and the Postal Service more than anything, especially in New York.
And I hate when the Postal Service delivers it because I feel like they screwed up more than UPS does, but whatever, in my opinion.
I've never paid attention once in my life. The box shows up.
Stan's like, ooh, my stuff's
and I'm
here.
I'm thrilled. Yeah, I just get so excited about the thing that I have no idea who's dropping it off. Or
especially for all those packages your wife has delivered on the days you're not home.
Yeah, the secret ones that are showing up at my house right now full of carafes and other bric-a-brac.
So many crafting supplies.
The other thing you have to remember is just like the sheer number of ways Amazon has delivered besides also UPS and USPS.
Right. They have ground messengers.
They have ground messengers. They have drones. They will deliver packages to your car trunk now, or you can that special key that lets them into your house.
I recently found out I'm just as stupid off the air as I am on the air. And so recently I had to order a product off of Amazon and then return it. And they told me to return it to a Kohl's location, which I didn't know you could do. So I went and I returned it, and they gave me a 25% off coupon off of something at Kohl's just for being an idiot, I guess. And then I reordered the new version, and that was wrong too. So I brought that to Kohl's, and then they gave me another coupon.
This is a great scheme.
So really, like, they really want you to return stuff to Kohl's, apparently. So if you have one,
Kohl's also loves coupons.
Yeah, so yeah, order yourself something stupid and send it back. Get a coupon, I guess. I don't know. You shouldn't do that. But you can if you genuinely want to return something.
Right, well done, Corinne, claiming the title of Decathlon champ for our first episode back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Corinne, we have your prize now here in the studio, and it's actually, I lied to you a little bit, it's a bit of a prize for everybody. Let's be honest, we're basically living in the year of fake meat. Lots of startups coming around and using technology to create new food products that are more sustainable. In fact, you can read more about that in the summer issue of Popular Science called Make It Last, all about sustainability. This past week, the Impossible Whopper launched at Burger King, a Whopper made out of fake meat. And we happen to have some here, so we're going to try them and let you know how they are. And we realize our show and tells have basically devolved into us eating food and telling you about it, but that's where we are today. So let's break out the burgers.
Stan, you want to – I'll pass out the burgers. You have written a lot about Impossible. While I do this, why don't you tell people what's going on here?
Impossible is one of the big names in fake meat at the moment. There's Beyond and Impossible, which are sort of the two heavy hitters. Idea is to create something that is not made of beef but can reasonably fool someone that it is beef. And Impossible has done an awesome job of that. And a couple years ago, the original Impossible burger came out, and it was impressive. Everybody was really impressed. They used this molecule called heme to make it kind of taste like blood. It almost bled a little bit. But the problem,
it kind of was a little bit reddish too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it really did taste meaty. The problem was that it was kind of stringy because of the kind of protein that they used. They were using this wheat-based protein, so it wasn't gluten-free.
Bad for gluten-sensitive folks.
Right, and you also couldn't do anything with it other than make patties, because if you tried to pull it apart or smush it, it turned into these little gross strands, kind of. It was still good, but it just wasn't very versatile. So this past year at the Consumer Electronics Show, they announced version 2.0, which is this new, much more versatile kind. So it uses soy protein now. And they're actually using a process that's kind of like brewing beer to like make all of the ingredients that they need. And the new stuff is much more versatile. You can ball it up and make meatballs. I've had empanadas. I even tried tartare of this at CES. And it's really good. And then so earlier this year, Burger King test drove making a Whopper out of it. I think it was in St. Louis.
It was. They started in St. Louis. Now they're going to, I think it's 7,000 locations.
Yeah, and it did super well. And so now they're bringing it to all the locations. So now we are here eating it.
Should we dig in?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
It's good.
Yeah. Like if you blindfolded me, you know, in terms of like a fast food patty, you know, that's maybe been hanging out for just a little while, but it's got a good texture. I have no real complaint.
Yeah, just from looking at it, it almost looks a little too nice. You know what I mean? Like a hamburger gets kind of raggedy around the edges, and like this has a...
It does. It has that veggie patty perfection to it.
Yeah. Like if I had to food style this for a photo shoot, I'd be like, oh, this is much easier than having to like wrangle actual ground beef.
All right. While we're eating these impossible Whoppers, let's move on to our next game. Last week, e-cigarette maker Juul launched its CI Vape in the UK after a successful trial run in Canada. The device can pair with an Android app, allowing the system to monitor the frequency of the device's use. It also taps facial recognition to ID age-verified users and prevent teens and kids from using the e-cig. At a time when far too many youngsters are puffing, this might be a smart device innovation that actually manages to make sense.
Which is quite remarkable, wouldn't you say? Because the Internet of Things, all these connected devices and gizmos, it's a trope, but I'm going to say it. It feels more like the Internet of Over the years, we've seen all kinds of completely ridiculous products paired with Bluetooth apps connected to your smart home that are just really head-scratchingly ridiculous. We're going to play a game of two truths and a lie. We're going to go round robin. Each of you will be presented with three descriptions of connected gadgets, two of which are things that actually exist, and one is a complete product of my imagination. Your job is to tell me which is which. Two questions each, and we have a tiebreaker if you need it. Jason, I'm going to start with you. Let's do it. An egg tray that counts your eggs and tracks how long they've been there. A pizza box with a motion sensor to tell if the delivery guy is the one who crushed your dinner. A salt shaker that measures your ideal amount of seasoning.
I think the pizza box is fake.
The pizza box is most definitely fake. I made that one up. Yeah. Although I would love that.
That'd be great.
To exist. All right, Rob.
Hello.
You're up. Okay. A seltzer bottle that monitors its fizz. A toaster that pings an app when it hits the right crisp. An app-connected pregnancy test.
I think it's the pregnancy test.
The pregnancy test is a thing that exists in the real world, and it's a few years old, and I'm honestly still pretty mad about it.
Because, like, can't somebody just look at the little symbol on the test? Do you have to actually get it on your phone, too?
Also, like, why would I want this incredibly personal piece of information flung to a connected anything?
Also, yeah. You got to pee all over it.
Exactly. Just pee over your phone.
I was going to say that.
It's much faster.
The fake one was a seltzer bottle that monitors the fizz.
Mm. See, I
would also like that to exist.
Tech bros love seltzer enough that I would assume that would exist.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking.
You just made yourself $1 million.
It's SodaStream 3.0 or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you ready, Stan?
Yep.
A belt that loosens itself when your tummy seems full. A hairbrush that corrects bad grooming. A hanger that tells you the last time you wore your clothes.
The belt feels so passive-aggressive that I have to choose that one. I feel personally attacked.
No, the belt exists. It's called Belty.
You're going to order me one now?
Yeah.
Is that the next show and tell?
That's the next show and tell.
It's called Belty?
It's called Belty.
Oh, man.
I should say that a lot of these things were like Indiegogo, Kickstarter campaigns, internet flashes in the pan. So a lot of them, just as absurd as they sound, have gone far, far away from us, but they are products that existed at
somewhere,
some point.
Somewhere there's a Belty, a malfunctioning Belty that's chopping people in half like a cheese log.
The fake thing is a hanger that tells you the last time you wore your clothes.
Oh, really? That sounds like
that. I thought that was a real one for sure.
Sorry.
Pee on the hanger.
Jason, next to you. An umbrella that changes color in the rain and tracks location. A coaster that alerts you when someone spikes your drink. A cereal bowl that warns you when your frosted flakes are soggy.
I feel like I've seen the cereal bowl. I don't think the coaster is real.
The coaster is totes real. It's called the Brio Smart Coaster. Not only so you use it, you put it on top of your drink when you walk away, and that way it can tell you if somebody has removed the coaster from your drink. But when it's used under your drink in a regular fashion, it's supposed to create this like network called Brio Mingle, where you can like meet other people in the bar who also have this loser coaster.
Hey, you also have the coaster?
The cereal bowl is fake.
Oh, man. Although I really wish it was real.
I really thought that was real.
I wish it was like, I just have this vision of someone like staring at a green light, just shoveling frosted flakes into their mouth, trying hopefully.
I can't make it.
I gotta beat them. And then the light turns red and they throw the bowl across the room.
All right, this is turning out to be way harder than I thought it was gonna be. All right, Rob, next question to you.
Okay.
An iron that teaches you how to press your shirts. A tissue box that automatically reorders and also offers you soup. A plug-in air freshener whose scents you can deploy remotely.
I do feel like the second two things are real. I'm going to go with choice A.
Choice A, which is the iron that teaches you how to press your shirts. No, that is real. It's called the Lorastar Smart U.
Whoa.
Irony. It's called irony. Mr. Iron.
It's called a wrinkle in mine. From the makers of Belty comes irony.
Yes. The tissue box is fake.
Ah, nice. I guess the soup thing. It felt like a tissue box that ordered more tissues would be a real thing, like an Amazon Dash.
Like an Amazon almost. Dash. But they're getting rid of those, aren't they?
The physical ones, yeah. But the soup part probably should have tipped me off.
Yeah. It was like a little too specific.
A laser that goes across where they it's like, oh, there's no tissue interrupting me.
Stan, I'm sorry. I don't know how this happened, but your last question also has a fat guy joke in it.
God, darn it. It's like
I have no idea how this happened, Stan.
Smart thermos for big ugly idiots called the Stan thermos.
All right, are you ready?
It's called Lardy.
Okay, let's do it. Last question. Stan, if you don't get this question right, then Jason will have answered the only correct question this entire game. So let's see how we do. A ladder that alerts you if you exceed the weight limit. A sensor-laden yoga mat that corrects your crappy form. A breath sensor that sniffs out ketosis.
I think it's the latter, probably, right?
The latter is fake.
All right.
All right. Stan and Jason tied one apiece at a really
alarmingly
hard game. Like, does this game say that we're bad at guessing things or that there is just too much garbage?
Both.
Okay.
Also, Belty, I think, answers that question very, very
efficiently. Belty McBeltface. Okay. Tiebreaker question. Closest answer wins. We're not doing Price is Right rules. According to a forecast from research firm Gartner, how many devices in billions will be connected to the internet by the end of 2019?
Man, I feel like I saw this number at some point, too.
35.
35 billion?
Wow, I was going to say something like, well, how many people are there in the world? 7.5 billion? So I'll say 2 for everyone, 15.
14.2, Stan's the winner.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Well, because everybody's going to have a Belty, right? And then it's one other one. And
it goes without
there.
Saying. Yeah, a Belty and a smartphone.
Well done, Stan. Thank you, Corinne. Let's move on to our final game of the episode. Instagram is reportedly getting a new name. In the near future, you could be sharing all of your lovably crummy photos in an app called Instagram from Facebook.
Perfect. Beautiful.
In fact, WhatsApp will also get the same from Facebook addition to its moniker. Early reception for the change has been, let's say, less than positive, but that's not out of the ordinary for Silicon Valley.
Yeah, there's some real crappy names out there for tech companies. So, I mean, the people here in this room and probably most of you know that Instagram and these other apps belong to Facebook. But it's not universal knowledge, and it's not uncommon for people to, quote-unquote, quit Facebook and switch to Instagram without knowing that they're throwing their personal information down the same big pit. So while the name is informative, it's not very clever or really very good. Tech companies have a long history of bad names, so I'm going to run you through some of the true standouts. I'll give you a wacky company name, and you'll have to tell me what it actually did or does, if it still exists.
Oh, this is hard, dude.
I will give you two options for each. So okay. Really, all you have to do is pick.
Okay.
And they're gettable. Some of them are gettable. The first round of three is easier, and then the second round of three is harder.
Escalation.
I hope I get Apple or Tesla.
All right, Rob, the first one goes to you. It is Dogpile. Was it a mid-90s search engine trying to take advantage of the business boom from the era? Or was it an ill-fated pet supply company that promised free two-day delivery on all of its products?
Dogpile was a search engine. And I remember I used to live in Seattle briefly for 1 year in the early aughts. And I'm pretty sure my neighbor worked for Dogpile.
Yeah. I think the most interesting part about this question is that Dogpile still exists. It started in 1996 and it just searched other search sites and then conglomerated all of the results. And if you go to dogpile.com today, the homepage looks exactly as you'd expect.
Right. Like
there's no
it's a black background, flashing white text.
I guarantee yep. you will not be surprised. Pleasantly or otherwise. All right, Jason. Right. Yours is Ping. Was Ping an early version of the speed test sites that we now use, like fast.com from Netflix to test our internet bandwidth? Or an obscure music-based social network from Apple created to make iTunes less terrible?
I think it was the Apple social network.
It was. Ping was Apple's attempt to make iTunes into a social network. And then they stopped doing it in 2012 when they just integrated Facebook and Twitter like they probably should have.
I just don't understand why everything needs to be a social network.
All right, Corinne.
Yes.
Yours is Mixer. Is Mixer Microsoft's confusingly named platform for video game streaming meant to compete with Amazon's Twitch, or a dating app that lets you select 10 possible dates from a larger pool of candidates, then chat with them without knowing which is which to see who you might have the best match with?
It's the Microsoft thing, isn't it?
It is the Microsoft yeah. thing. Actually, Mixer was in the news this week because Microsoft spent very many dollars to sign a Fortnite all-star named Ninja, mm-hmm. and he already has 1 million followers on the platform in just 5 days.
Fortnite is money, dude.
There you go. Now we have some hard ones, which I'm pretty excited about. I'm actually particularly excited about this first one.
Does it go to me?
It does.
Oh, boy.
Your next question is eSnailer. Was it an ill-fated web service that would print out your emails and send them to your friends, loved ones, or potential crime victims in the mail for free? Or an ill-fated social network that allowed users to create daily newsletters about their lives and hobbies to send to their friends?
Oh, my God. eSnailer?
eSnailer.
Oh, I think it was option A.
It was option A. Ooh. It was a service that it closed down in 2007, which sounds just about right. And the service was ad-supported. And one of the reviews of it claimed that after they signed up for the service, they got 240 spam mails per week as a result. So
it's kind of like that we sell your stuff on eBay
yep.
store from the 40-year-old version. Oh, my. Just a dumb mashup of the physical space and the electronic space. I like it.
Jason, your next one is Expresso. Was it a platform within Microsoft Office meant for coworkers to share documents and assets? Or was it a coffee delivery service that would send you different beans, roasts, and grinds depending on information it gleaned from a personality quiz? Expresso.
Stan, I'm falling for your trap. I'm going for the coffee.
It was not. It was the boring one. There's actually a hint in the name of it because it was used to share Excel documents.
Oh, Jesus, God.
So, Expresso. Ooh. All right, Corinne, you
yes.
have to get this one right in order to tie Rob
okay.
and force a tiebreaker for just a really great game. So far. Just a really, really well put together piece of podcasting here. All right, yours is TalkShoe. Is it a podcasting platform that lets random people create podcasts from any audio recording that they feed into the system? Or is it a sales platform for buying and selling of rare and hard-to-find collectible sneakers with a built-in authentication program?
Those both sound so feasible. I'm going to say it's the podcasting platform.
It is. You're
yes.
right. You force the tie.
Force the tie.
Yeah, there actually are some platforms that let you sell shoes. And to make this—
I only ever see people doing it on Instagram, though. That's why I didn't go with it.
Right. The thing that makes this question extra painful is that the name is a play on the way Ed Sullivan used to say really big shoe. Okay, so the tiebreaker. The Sci-Fi Channel used to spell its name the way any English-speaking human or cyborg would. However, some years ago, the channel tried to claim a hipper image by changing the spelling of its name to SYFY. In what year did they make the change?
2010.
I think that it was 2009.
Wow. Rob stealing it by undercutting. Price is Right rules. It was 2009.
Woohoo. Well, so it wasn't even Price is Right rules. He just got it right.
No, but I mean, he went one under. Isn't that what?
I was just correct.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's the Price is Right rule is you bet a dollar.
Yeah.
So you didn't guess the year one.
But, I mean, I think the rules for any game are if you get the answer right.
Thank you all for joining us. Have a great week. We'll catch you back here next Monday for another edition of Popular Science's Techathlon. Techathlon is a Popular Science podcast. We're available on all major podcast platforms, so subscribe wherever you're listening now. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It will help other people to find the show. You can buy our merch, including t-shirts, tote bags, and mugs at popsci.threadless.com. The show is produced by the entire PopSci tech team and me, Jason Letterman. Our theme music is by Billy Cadden. If you have questions, suggestions, or opinions to share, tweet us at Techathlon Show. Thanks for listening.